حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آل الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Shaitan is a subject, and the means and tools that he uses to misguide mankind. The second weapon that Shaitan used against mankind was that he came to us and he told us that Allah made you aqil. He made you intelligent. He gave you a brain so you can think. So now, when you listen to Allah, you shouldn't just obey Him, but you should think for yourself. Think for yourself.
Okay, switch. Let's go to the closet.
So Shaitan, he told man that you can think for yourself. When Allah gives a command, you should think and make sure it's good for you, then do it. If it's not good for you, then don't do it. Because he made you think, you have a mind, you have a brain. Why shouldn't you just listen and do what he says? You're not a robot. You're not an animal. You should think for your own self. So we see that this assault came at the time of Prophet Nuh, when his son refused to get on the ship because he thought that he could be saved by the mountain. He made the decision according to his own uncle, and he was doomed because he followed his uncle and not the command of Allah. So now, if when we look at this, we see that yes, Allah did give us his uncle. He did give us the power to think, to reason. So now, if we are able to think, if we are able to reason, if we are able to use our mind, then why is it that Allah did not want us to use it when it came to His command? Friends, this is what we need to understand today. And let me just tell you this thing. Allah wanted us to be obedient. In fact, He made us to be obedient and to serve Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He created us for obedience, for servanthood, to obey His command. But then you see, His obedience comes later. Allah says, yes, I expect obedience from you. And I didn't give you aql in vain. This is not, this aql that I gave you, this intellect that I gave you is not in vain. Before obedience, before the stage of obedience, I want you to use your aql. Before you follow my commands, Before you even get to the stage of following, I gave you akal so that you can use akal in order to reach the stage of obedience. My friends, understand this. How Allah and where Allah wanted us to use the akal. He didn't say do not use the akal. He says use your akal in the place where it should be used. Use it in a place where it should be used. Do not use your akal, do not use your intellect in places where it should be used. Use it where it should be used. He says, and that is, you should use it before the stage of obedience. Understand? Use it before the stage of obedience. Use your akal to know who Allah is. Use your akal to know what the truth is. Use your intellect to know who Allah is. After you know Allah, then if Allah sends a command, then don't use your akal. Because now you know who Allah is. Understand this. You see, our wajibat, our obligations are in furu'ul deen. Salat, sawm, hajj, zakat, qums, jihad, amr al ma'ruf, nahy al munkar, tabarra, tawalla. These are wajibat. But the stage of wajibat comes after usul al-deen. Tawheed, adl, nabuwat, imamat, qiyamah. First the stage is usul al-deen. Then comes furu' al-deen. Allah says in usul al-deen, use your akal. And when you use your akal in usul al-deen to know who Allah is, you know who the Prophet is, you know who the Imam is, then after you know me, after you know that I am Allah, now if I give a command, and then you're saying, no, let me use my akal, then what it means is that you really don't know me yet. You haven't recognized me yet. My friends, understand this. To us, in usul al-deen, there is no taqleed. Understand this. In usul al-deen, there is no taqleed. There is no following. There is no obedience in usul al-deen. In usul al-deen, there is purely akal. Purely reasoning. Pure logic. Pure rationale. Use your akal to know who Allah is, akal to know who the Prophet is, akal to know who the Imam is. Then when you know them, then in furu' al-deen there is no akal, there is only obedience. In furu' al-deen, in wajibat, there is no akal. You don't use your akal in furu' al-deen. Because you use your akal to know who Allah is. Friends, understand how Allah and where Allah wants us to use the akal. We use our akal to know who Allah is. Once we get to know that yes, this is Allah, that this is Allah, then if Allah gives a hukum, if Allah gives an order, if Allah gives a command, now if we use our akal, we are telling Allah, Allah, I don't think you understand what you're doing. My friends, akal, our akal is used to recognize Allah, to know Tawheed, to know that He is God. Once we know that He is Allah, then there's no use of the akal. Because we have akal. We have to understand. Yes, we have akal, we have intellect. But once we recognize that Allah is Khaliqul Akal, and the creator of akal, then we would know that our job with Him is just to obey His commands. Our job is to recognize that He is Khaliqul Akal. Once we know that He is Khaliqul Akal, now don't use your akal against Him. This is where our intellect is used. This is where we use it. Otherwise, if Allah gives a command, and here we are, and we are trying to say that, well, Allah, you know, maybe, I don't know if you really thought this over or not. Let me think for you. What it means is that we haven't recognized Allah yet. So anyone who argues with Allah in furu' al-deen means that he hasn't recognized Allah. He hasn't used his akal. My friends, understand this. This is something important for us to understand. Allah, you read the whole Quran, Allah has never commanded mankind to believe in Allah. He never ordered mankind to believe. Read the whole Quran. Is there any amr, any place where there's amr that says believe in Allah? The only time he gives amr to is not the people, but to believers, to mu'mineen. He says, Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu, aminu. Oh, you believe? Believe. Allah is giving command to believers to believe. But he's never giving command to non-believers to believe. Never. You see the whole Quran. There's no place where Allah says, Oh, disbeliever, you better believe. You don't have such thing. Why? Whenever Allah, you see, if Allah had said that, it would go against his very mission. If Allah had ordered people to believe in Allah, it would go against his mission. Why? You see, look in the Quran. Whenever Allah speaks about Tawheed, he doesn't say, believe in me. He says, look at the stars, look at the creation, and understand why I'm here, why I'm God. Look at this creation of mine. Look at all these things I have made and recognize who is the creator of these. You see, he's making us think. He wants us to use our akal to reach Allah. He wants us to use our intellect to reach Allah. And it would be wrong for Allah to command us to believe. Why? Because if we believed in Allah because he said so, then the criteria, the mizan for us believing in Allah, my friend, understand what I'm saying? The mizan for us believing in Allah is because he said so. For example, if I ask you, why do you believe in Allah? Oh, because Allah said so. Oh, okay. So, if I ask a Hindu, so, why do you believe in Krishna? Because Krishna said so. I ask a Christian, why do you believe in Jesus? Because Jesus said so. If that's the criteria, if that's the standard, then let me announce my Godhood right now. I'm commanding you all to believe in me as God. Right now I'm commanding you. Because you believed in Allah because he said so, so what's wrong with believing in me because I said so? My friends, understand this. This is the reason why Allah cannot give a command. Because if that's the standard, then any false god would come and say, I want you to believe in me. So why aren't we believing in him? And why are we believing in him? What's the difference? What is the difference between the two? Because the standard is, he said so. That's why I'm believing him. If Fir'aun comes to us and says, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la, well, why aren't you believing in him? Because you believed in Allah because he said so. So now you can believe in him also because he said so. My friend, Allah cannot do that. That's why Allah says, you cannot reach faith, you cannot reach aqidah through command. You have to reach aqidah through your intellect and reasoning. It is the aql that tells us which is the true God and which is the false God. It is aql that tells us that this is the real God and this is the fake God. It is aql that tells us that. And that's why Allah says, I will never command you to believe in me. I want you to reach my belief through your own reasoning. You reach me through your own reasoning. Understand it. I will never command you to gain usul al-deen and gain my belief through any hook. No. This is why we see in usul al-deen, we cannot make taqreed of a mujtahid. If the mujtahid says there are two gods, if he says there's one God, we cannot believe that he is one God because he's saying so. If your mujtahid, if your marja comes to you and says, oh, there's one God, and you believe that there's one God because he said so, then this faith is batil. This iman is batil. This aqidah is batil. You cannot listen to your mujtahid. You have to reach it yourself. You have to understand it yourself. In usul al-deen, there is no taqleed. But in furu' al-deen, there is no aql also. Because once you understood Allah is God, now you don't argue with him with your aql. And if you are arguing with him, then it means that you haven't understood that he's Allah yet. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My friends, it is the aql that Allah wants you to reach Allah by. He says, use the aql first. And once you understood He's Allah, now you obey Him. Now you know He's Allah, now you can completely obey Him, whatever He says you do. You see, this is important for us to understand. And that is why our maturity is through aql. Ibrahim had a dream. He had a dream, and in the dream he saw he is slaughtering his son, Ismail. He came to Ismail and said, "Inni ra'a fil manam anni adhbuha." My son, I saw in my dream that I am slaughtering you, killing you like an animal. Friends, we read this all the time. We have heard this all the time. But I always like to give some different angles so we can see it in a different way. Right? Now tell me, if you had a dream, really, if you had a dream that you are killing your son, right? And you went to your son and said, "Hey, son, I had a dream last night, Really, Dad? What? I had a dream that I was killing you." And he would be like looking at me and said, "Oh, yeah? Yeah? I'll be right back." "Go and call 911. My dad's lost it. Come and pick him up. Give me another family to live in." I mean, who would listen to that? Who would, in their right mind, listen to that and look at you seriously and say, "Are you kidding?" Imagine what Ibrahim is telling his son. He's saying that, "Listen, I had a dream I'm killing you. You see, I had a dream I'm killing you." Imagine that. Understand this. When Ibrahim said this, I want you to see this. When Ibrahim said this, he made it, he said it in such a way that he gave Ismail the excuse to say no. Really, look at how Ibrahim said it. He gave him all the possibility to say no and get out of it. See, if Ibrahim had said, "Listen, Allah commanded me to slaughter you," then it would be different. But what Ibrahim said is that, "Hey, I had a dream that I'm killing you." He based his whole issue, this whole issue on a dream. He said, "I had a dream." Ismail could have said, "Dad, it's a dream, don't worry about it. Dad, it's a dream, don't worry about it. Everyone has a dream. What, are you going to act on your dream now?" See, understand this. Ibrahim gave all the excuse to Ismail to say no. Ismail could have said no. He said, "You had a dream. If Allah had commanded, alhamdulillah, you should have done it." Ibrahim based his whole issue, he based it on a dream. My friends, understand what Ibrahim is doing. He based his whole thing on a dream. He says, "I had a dream, my son, that I'm killing you." And Ismail in return replied back to him. He says, "Ya abatif al ma tu'mar. Allah, do, Ibrahim, my father, do what you have been commanded to do. Do what you have been commanded to do." He could have said, "No, it's a dream." But Ismail, is giving a reply. I want you to understand Ibrahim's question, and I want you to understand Ismail's answer. Ibrahim, when he asked the question, he was testing Ismail. This was his first test. His first test was not the slaughter. His first test is to recognize that Ibrahim's dream is a command of Allah. Ismail, by answering back, he was successful in this test and he made it known that, yeah, my father, I recognize this. This is your saying it's a dream, but I know that your dream is a command of Allah. The first test of Ismail, before he even went to the slaughtering and to the altar of sacrifice, before he even went there, the first test was to see the maturity of his intelligence. To make sure that he's intelligent enough to make a decision for himself. Allah doesn't want to put anyone through a trial until he tries his heart. Until he makes sure that he is intelligent enough to know what he is going through. This is why if someone is insane, if someone is majnoon, Allah does not test him in any way. No prayer, no fasting. He's majnoon. There's no test for him. Test will only come when your akal is ready to understand that this is a test. Ismail understood that this is a test. That's why he was taken to the altar. See, Ismail in age was young, but in akal he was mature. And Allah bases the test that he gives for mankind on the akal. If your akal is mature, then Allah will test you. And if you're not being tested, then you have to doubt your akal. Then you have to say, maybe there's nothing wrong with my akal. Because if your akal is mature, if your akal is strong, then Allah will test you. He will test you and he will let you know. This is why Ismail's first test that he had was to see how intelligent, how mature his akal is. When his akal is mature, now he can give the test. This is what, this was a test of maturity of the akal. This is where you see akal comes in. Before the test comes, before the command comes, first the akal has to be there. Your intellect has to be mature. And then Allah says, when I ask you to do something, you do it. Do it. My friends, bulugh. You know what bulugh is? It is the day that a boy becomes a man, or a girl becomes a woman. In other words, Allah has deemed them mature enough to do the obligations of Islam. In men, for example, it is certain signs that you see in a boy. If the boy has those signs, he becomes baligh. Or if he doesn't see those signs until the age of 15, according to the lunar calendar, right? According to the lunar calendar, right? If he did not see those signs, then at the age of 15, he's baligh. Now, my friends, tell me this. Right, I'm giving you this example just to make you understand something. You know, yesterday, you know, for example, a child becomes baligh today, let's say. This is his 15th birthday, he never saw any signs. This is 15th birthday, he became baligh. What happened in one day? Yesterday, nothing was wajib on him. He didn't have to pray. He didn't have to fast. He didn't have to do anything. Right? Nothing was wajib on him. And today, he's baligh. All of a sudden, the whole Sharia, the whole law of Islam is now a burden on him. He has to pray, he has to fast, he has to do anything. The question is, and I want you to think about this question. The question is, what happened in one night? How much of a change happened in one night that yesterday Allah did not regard him mature enough to do any obligation, and today he wants him to do everything, to pray and fast, do all the obligations. Ya Allah, what is this? I mean, how much of a change happened in him? What happened last night? Right? I mean, let's say if your 15th birthday is tomorrow. I mean, how much of a change are you going to go through that one night? You see, it's just another day. What happened? Yesterday, nothing is wahi. Today, everything is wahi. What's this? I want you to think about that. Let me give you another example. You know, the whole month of Ramadan we are fasting. And we are told to fast, you know, in Shaban also, just to get ready for Ramadan. But most of us don't. Most of us don't. So when Ramadan hits us, it hits us with a surprise. So by the time we get used to fasting, it's already eat. Right? It's already eat. We are used to fasting now. You know? And now we like it because we are used to it. We are used to eating at night and suhoor. We are not used to eating in the day. A whole month has gone. We are not used to eating in the day. So now comes the day of Eid. Day of Eid comes. And now, at night, I mean yesterday, it was wajib for me to fast. Today is the day of Eid. I am used to fasting. I am not used to eating in the day. But here Allah is saying, hey, wait a minute, no. Here is haram to fast. Eid is haram to fast. Asha, I'm used to fasting. Let me fast. Fasting is good. I'm losing weight. You know, let me fast. I got used to this diet. You know? I got used to it now. So why are you breaking the habit now? But on the day of Eid, Allah is saying, no, you cannot fast. Eat. In the morning, you're supposed to have to eat something before you go for Eid prayer. Eat something and then go. Allah, I mean, let me fast. Allah is saying, no, you cannot fast. So what's the difference? Yesterday, it was wajib to fast. Today, it's haram to fast. Allah, why are you stopping me? Why are you breaking my habit? Friends, understand this, my friends. This whole thing, and there are many rules like this. I just mentioned two examples for you. And I want you to understand what Allah is doing to us. What is He making real? What is He making us realize by doing this with us? It's not a game that He's playing. There's wisdom behind this. Yesterday, that child, nothing was wajib on him. Now he becomes banal. Everything is wajib on him. So Allah, why are you doing this? The whole month of Ramadan, it was wajib to fast. On the day of Eid, it's haram to fast. Allah, why are you doing this? My friend, understand this. Allah is letting us know and letting us realize that all I want to see from you and all I want you to realize is that I don't want you to be a slave of habit. I want you to be a slave of Allah. This habit that we made in Ramadan, Allah wants us to realize, do not fast because of habit. Fast because Allah said to you fast. Because Allah commanded you to fast. Most of us are slaves of habit. We get into a habit and we are slaves of it. This is why a child, yesterday, he was not balig. Today he is balig. Allah wants to see, are you a slave of aql or are you a slave of Allah? Your aql Allah has given you for what? So that you can become a slave of Allah. But we end up becoming slaves of our aql instead of Allah. So if we say that, no, yesterday he was still a child, today he's still a child. No, he's not. Now Allah's commands have come in. Allah's hukum has come. And now you have to know, understand that until yesterday I was fasting because Allah said so. Today I'm not fasting because Allah said so. Because it's Allah's obedience that we are after. Aql is there to make us reach that, my friends. Aql is there to make us reach that. And we also have to understand that we are not the slaves. Do not get into a habit of becoming a slave of your aql. It says, no, you know, because here in America, you have a lot of that. Many people, you will see them. They will be like looking at you, right? And they're arguing and saying, oh, I don't agree with that. Who the? Are you to not agree with that? I mean, here Allah is saying, this is wajib. And we are saying, well, I don't agree with that. I mean, which pothole did you come from to say that? You don't agree with it. Who gave you The one who gave you intellect is the one who's commanding you. The one who gave you akal is commanding you. And here we are, like, oh, we are, why? This is a very deep-rooted problem, and I don't want to go into that deep-rooted problem in America. Why we are at this situation where we give our opinions in opposition to Allah's opinion. If Allah gives an opinion, we are like, well, I don't agree with that opinion. But you have an opinion. Allah doesn't have an opinion. Allah speaks the truth. What Allah speaks is reality. When you have an opinion, you know, as one famous American has said, you know, that America, that opinions are, I don't know, I can say it from the memory, you know, right? We said that opinions, like, are like your anus, right? Everyone has them and they all stink, right? That's what opinions are. Your opinion, that's all it is. That's all it counts for. Right? That's all it counts for. A lot of people, they come to me and they say, Maulana, what is your opinion on that? I don't have an opinion. If you want to know my opinion, you would be going astray. Don't ask me for my opinion. I don't have an opinion. If I had my opinion, then I would be lost also. Yes, if you want to know what Imam Ja'far Sadiq said, I'll tell you that. Because that is Haq, that is Islam. Right? This is Shaitan who is telling us that your opinion is equal to ours. It is Shaitan who is saying to you that your opinion you can use against what Allah has said. And friends, our opinions will go in our grave with us. Right? That they will be. Understand this. Shaitan has made us think that way. That listen, use your akal against Allah. When Allah gives you a hukum, use it. No, Allah says do not use it there. Use it to recognize Allah. And once you know Allah, now your job is to obey Him. Your job is to obey Him. Our job is to know that this hukum is from Allah. Once we know that this is from Allah, then our job is to obey Him. Completely obey Him without anything. This is why when Allah said to the angels, فَرَأُولَهُ السَّاجِدِينَ fall into sajda when I breathe into Adam my room. So all the angels fell down. Shaitan didn't. And you know what? Many people think, and there are many people who think that Shaitan was right. Shaitan was right and all the malaika were wrong. I'm asking. And like, if I want to play the devil's advocate, let's say Shaitan hired me as a lawyer. You know, how'd you fight my case? So, I will say that, Ya Allah, I mean, look at it. Shaitan is a better servant than all the angels. You know, he's a better servant than all the angels. You know, Shaitan is the only one who can say that he is muwahid, that he has never made sajda to anyone but Allah. Shaitan was making sajda to Allah. He was praying to Allah. He refused to make sajda to Adam. All the angels made sajda to Adam. So in Shaitan's view, all the angels are mushrik. Aren't they? Because they made sajda to Allah and to Adam. So they're mushrik. Shaitan is right. Because he never made sajda to anyone but Allah. Allah, I cannot make sajda to him. You are Rabb. You are God. I will make sajda to you. I've always been doing it. This is not God. I cannot make sajda to him. My friend, understand this. You know, you want to know. This is Shaitan's argument. You know, this is Shaitan's argument. Angels, they make sajda to Allah and Adam. So in Shaitan's view, they're mushrik. In Shaitan's view, they're mushrik. But in Allah's view, it's Shaitan who's a kafir. You see, Allah's view, Shaitan is kafir. Shaitan's view, angels are mushrik. Now brothers and sisters, Do not be surprised if other people call you mushrik. If they call you mushrik, because we adore Allah, we adore Ahlul Bayt. If we adore Ahlul Bayt, many people call us mushrik for that. Many people call us mushrik for that. It is the same way Shaitan is calling the angels mushrik. He says, no, I will only worship Allah and I will only make sajda before Allah, no one else. Before the Wahhabis did this, Shaitan did that. Before the Wahhabis did it, Shaitan did that. Shaitan is saying the same thing that the Wahhabis are saying. We only did sajda to Allah, no Ahlul Bayt, nothing. But Malaika, they made sajda to Allah and Adam, and Allah is saying they are mu'min and Shaitan is kafir. So you understand that if we were in the same field as Adam and the angels and Shaitan and Allah were, then you would be called kafir by Allah. We would be called mu'min. Because not only do we love Allah, we also love Ahlul Bayt, because Allah told us to love Ahlul Bayt. So Shaitan, he is thinking he's right. Shaitan is thinking he's right. But 6,000 years, what was the sajda for? Understand this, my friends. All that I've said this past half an hour, what was the sajda for? Sajda to Adam. What was it for? 6,000 years he worshipped. All these while he worshipped. Why did you make this one sajda? Allah, all he wanted to see is that I trained you for such a long time. You have been worshipping me for such a long time. I want to understand, do you really know what worship means? Do you really know what ibadat means? And it became clear when Iblis did not do sajda that ibadat was clear for all the angels. But it's Iblis who never understood what true worship is. It is Iblis who did it. All Allah wanted to see, I want to see all my training. Did it? Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was it really worth it? And after all these years, Iblis still didn't understand what is ibadat, what is worship, what is obedience. He still did not understand that. This is what Allah meant, my friends. And the same thing applies to Nabuwwah and Imamah. That's why Allah says, Atiullah wa Atiur Rasul wa Ulil Amri Minkum. Allah's ibadat comes after Allah's ma'rifat. Rasulullah's ibadat comes after his ma'rifat. First, know who Rasulullah is, then follow him. First, know who Imam Ali is, then follow him. If you don't know who he is, you will never follow him. You will always be ignorant. That's why aql is used to recognize Allah, recognize the Prophet, recognize Ahlul Bayt. Once you recognize them, now your only job is to obey. Do not listen to Shaitan where he says, use your aql. When Allah gives a command, use it. No. Our aql and our opinions do not count there. The only place where our opinions do count is when we are trying to recognize Allah and recognize Tawheed. This is where our aql counts, my friends. This is where we use our aql. And Shaitan misguides people through this. And he has misguided many people through that. And you can see the examples around you. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. You know, the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Salawat alaikum.